Ezra chapter 5. Don't we? Something develops, somebody gets sick, or something comes along, or you get a phone call, or you get something in the mail, or 100,000 different kinds of events happen, and you wonder, I wonder what's going to happen next. You know what's interesting is God's in control of next. And he is so much in control of next that we ought to relax. Amen? I had a staff member in Maryland. His name was Ashton Nelson. And he and I, well, it's a long story. We went to an activity with our young people. And I forgot what the occasion was now, but it was a group of students and they were getting some kind of a reward. And we took them to the Six Flags, which is located near Washington, D.C. Now, you won't know this, but that Six Flags is notorious for not having safe equipment. And we were there one day, and a bunch of people were hanging upside down in a roller coaster up there. They got stuck, and they couldn't come down and had to stop the whole thing and get some people to help them. And so Mr. Nelson, we called him, Ashton Nelson, who I guess he's still in the ministry. He was last time I heard, a pastor in New York. He decided that he and I needed to ride this roller coaster, which is called Batman. Now, I've been on a lot of roller coasters, but on this roller coaster, you lay down, face down, and you're looking up, and you're hanging on, and you're literally in a prone position, and off it goes. And, you know, I have a philosophy about roller coasters, even at Six Flags, which is, they're really trying hard not to hurt me because they don't want to get sued and lose a lot of money. And so they're probably going to do the best they can, although I found out they don't. But anyway, to keep me safe, we're riding along and this thing did some crazy turns and this and that. And just spontaneously I said something like, that's interesting. You know, that they would do this and they would do that. He was scared to death. And he later told the story. We're riding the roller coaster. He was scared to death. And pastor kept saying, that's interesting. That's interesting. And I really wasn't worried about getting hurt. Maybe I haven't got any sense. I don't know. But, you know, you think that the roller coaster company, which, by the way, I used to work right across the street from one up in Utah, and they are very careful to build those things and x-ray all the welds and everything. But you think that those people are going to try to keep from hurting you. Don't you think God can take care of us? So chapter 4 was bad news. Nothing much more intimidating than when the attorneys come after you and the court judges rule against you. And that's what happened in chapter 4. So when you come to the end of chapter 4, in verse 21, verse 23 at the end of the verse, it says, they made them to cease by force and power. They made them to cease by force and power. Now, at the end of the chapter, it says, then. Now watch that word. Then ceased the work. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now watch this word then. Here we go in chapter 5. You ready? Then the prophets. Okay, that's in verse 1. Look at verse 2. Then rose up Zerubbabel. And then you come down to the middle of verse 3. And I got to find it here. It says, it's in there somewhere. Verse 4. Then said we. And then in the middle of verse 5. Then they returned answer. And so you see these, it's like dominoes falling. Tuk, 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 tuk. But who's causing all this? God's in control. Amen? And it's just a little story, event after event after event after event, one thing caused another thing, caused another thing, caused another thing. But the thing that got it all going is in verse 1, then the prophets. Folks, we need to hear from God. Amen? You say, why won't people come to church? Because they're not hearing from God. Why aren't people burdened for souls? Why aren't people serving the Lord? Why don't people care about the things of the Lord? Because they're not hearing from God. If people would hear from God, genuinely hear from God, the Word of God changes things. I think you remember in Genesis that God spoke creation into existence. Now, if the Word of God can cause creation, can't the Word of God change things in you and I, in our heart? When you counsel somebody, maybe somebody asks you a question, give them an answer from the Bible. Quote them a verse, read them a verse, show them a verse. Tell them what the Bible has to say. Then the prophets got everything started back up. Let me ask God to bless our time. I'll show you a couple of things here for about 15 minutes and we'll be done. Father, thank you tonight that we have this opportunity to hear from you. I pray you'd open our eyes, open our ears to hear. Pray each one here would understand what's being said by you and it would make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Then the prophets, he's going to name them, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. There's so much in that verse. In the name. What do we mean when we say in the name? It wasn't the prophet's message. It was God's message. It wasn't the prophet's authority. It's God's authority. You know, if you stand up and you tell people what you think, oh, okay, I guess that's interesting. What about, what does God think? If you stand up and tell people what you'd like to say, that's one thing. What does God have to say? Amen? People need to hear from God. And people can hear from God through us. What's that old trite saying? You may be the only Bible somebody ever reads. Well, make sure it's the right translation. Amen? Give them the right stuff. Then the prophets, and that's really what causes things to start happening. I just want to talk about these guys just a little bit tonight. And remember that there's a tremendous application here. It's interesting to me, both of those prophets are lengthy prophecies. And Haggai is easier to understand. Zechariah is considered probably the most difficult book in the Old Testament to interpret. And it is one of those books that as you read it, it's just like the Revelation. It's just got lots and lots and lots of object lessons, you could call them, or symbolism is a better word. Very, very in-depth. Haggai is a little easier to understand. Let's just think about him a little bit tonight. Now, to put things in perspective, remember, we call the date that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, we call that zero. And if we go back from there, 520 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, Haggai prophesied. That's where we are in time. We're moving up towards a point to where God is silent for 400 years, but he's still talking. And by the way, when God is silent, nothing's happening. When they're not hearing from God, just like us, if we're not hearing from God, nothing's happening. So Haggai, 520 B.C., he prophesies. He has a phrase that he likes to use, sort of like John liked to say, verily, verily. Does anybody know what Haggai liked to say? Anybody remember Haggai? He says, consider your ways. How many times have we said that, Mr. Dolman, to somebody? Consider your ways. Shouldn't we? Amen? What are our ways? Well, it has a lot to do with how we think or what we're seeking or what we're doing to get it or what's important to us. Consider your ways. You know, the way is governed by the want. People do what they do because they want what they want. And can God change our wants? There was a day when you just wanted to be a sinner and you didn't want Jesus, and then somebody came to you and the Holy Spirit convicted you, and then you wanted to be saved. And the nice thing is, when you ask God to save you, he says, whosoever cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast them out. And he does save you. But the Holy Spirit worked in your heart to draw you to that place. Our ways, what we do, are governed by our wants. Sort of like in John chapter 3 when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit and he compared him to the wind. You know, I can look out my window and I can see the trees moving. And I know the wind is blowing. I can look at people and see which way they're moving. And it tells me what they're seeking, what they want in their heart. Whether they want to glorify God or whether they want something else. And the way we do things is governed by the want in our heart. And folks, we need for God to change our heart. And I think if you'll ask him to, I know if you'll ask him to, he will. Haggai says, consider your ways. When things aren't going forward, consider your ways. It's not God's fault. Twice in Haggai, the Lord says, consider your ways in the first chapter. Haggai is the first of the prophets that prophesied during after the captivity. His emphasis is on the work to rebuild the temple. In Ezra 6:14, it says the elders and the Jews built it and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. And so the prophecy caused prosperity. And folks, when you listen to God, things get better. Amen? Now, you might not see it as well now as you will later, but when you step into eternity, those times when you listened to God and heeded his warning or his will or whatever it was he had for us, you'll find those were the times when your life was good in eternity, in eternal perspective. So when we don't listen to God, that things don't go well. He had four messages. There was a rebuke. There's a time for that. There was a message of courage. You don't want to leave that out. A message of assurance and then a message of what's going to happen in the future. And both Haggai and Zechariah spent a lot of time, Zechariah in particular, talking about Israel in the last days. Now, why would that make any difference? Here they are 500 years before Christ. And they wouldn't have known the time frame, but these prophets remind them there's a Messiah coming. And folks, first of all, John 1 says this, first of all, he came to Israel. He came unto his own. He's Israel's Messiah. Now, Israel rejected him and crucified him, and God had a plan that they would do that so that we could be saved. But God is not finished with Israel yet, and both of these prophets see Israel restored and prospering in the end. And that gives you hope. You know, a lot of the times we just think, well, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, maybe I'm going to, whatever, I'm not going to have anything, I'm going to die or whatever. And God, even if you die, you step into eternity, that's not so bad, but the fact of the matter is, folks, God knows how your life is going to end. In fact, God knows how tomorrow is going to end. He knows how the school year is going to end. He knows how the summer is going to end. He knows how everything is in his hands. And he's got good plans for us. That's the real point I'm trying to make. God had good plans for Israel. So the thought there is, stick it out. In the end, it's going to be great. In the meantime, stick it out. I think if we'd think about that in our life, it would help as well. Just a couple of thoughts about Haggai again. He's got a message of negligence at the beginning. Now think about this. They started building, and then these fellows came and they said, oh, let us help you. That wasn't really the plan. And they said, no, this is our work. We're serving God. We don't want your help. And so then the same people that said they wanted to help wrote a letter to the king and said, these people are wicked. Stop them. Because they really didn't plan to help at all. They were trying to cause trouble. And so the king says, stop. That's what we saw at the end of chapter 4. And you and I, you read the verse, it's pretty clear. It says at the end of the verse, by force and power in chapter 4 and verse 24. In other words, they had to stop. But the interesting thing is, God doesn't say, well, too bad. You know, it just can't be done. God says, what's the matter with you? Why did you stop? Consider your ways. Don't be negligent. Now, here's what's interesting. Look at this. in chapter 5 and verse 1, the prophet spoke. And then in chapter 5 and verse 2, they began to build again. What happened to the force and the power? What do you think? Seems to me like the problem wasn't the force and the power. The problem was that the people decided that they didn't want to do the work. You know, people make all sorts of excuses, don't they? How many excuses have we heard? Mrs. Dahlman probably has a file. 10,000 student excuses. The dog ate my homework twice. I don't know. We make excuses. People that don't come to church make excuses. People that don't want to serve God make excuses. Folks, the truth of the matter is, we're the ones making the decision. Amen? And we could choose to serve or not to serve. And I'm just saying, a lot of the times, people make a decision not to serve, and then they have an excuse for it, when the truth is, they could have served if they'd have wanted to. They could have come to church if they'd have wanted to. They could have been faithful if they'd have wanted to. So the problem is not the king. The problem is not the letter. The problem is the people. That's why God uses the prophets to get them going. Haggai says, consider your ways. There's a message of negligence. Then there's a message of nerve in chapter 1. And I'm not going to go through all of Haggai with you tonight. It's kind of tedious unless you really, I enjoy this kind of thing. But he just tells them that they need to be strong. It's a message of courage. They need to keep on going. Don't be afraid. God's with you. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen? And so there's a message of negligence. They're not doing what they should. There's a message of nerve. They ought to have courage and keep going. Then there's a message of what you might call non-union. And basically the message there is telling them not to mix with the ungodly. That they're God's chosen people and that they ought to be separate from the others. We ought to be separate from the world. We ought to be separate from the things of the world. And that's a good message for another day. And then there's a message at the end of Haggai of notification. He describes the overthrow of the Gentile kingdoms. He describes it in chapter 2 and verse 23 that the Lord Jesus Christ will be the king, and he will. I don't know about the king that says stop the work, but I know King Jesus says keep going. Amen? And that's why Haggai is successful, I think, is he just shows them the problem that they need to get busy. It's not the king's fault, it's their fault. Zechariah is a completely different prophet, and there's so much about him. It turns out there were 30 people in the Bible with that name. We don't know a whole lot about the man. We know that when he wrote, because it's dated, we know that he was the grandson of Iddo, and Iddo was a priest who returned to Jerusalem with Zerubbabel, so he's with them. Probably a young man, probably born in Babylon. Jesus refers to a man named Zacharias who was martyred. I don't know if it's the same one or not. Zechariah is the longest minor prophet, has the most difficult imagery. Hallie and Hallie's Bible Handbook, I got one for some people here the other day, he's called the most difficult Old Testament book to interpret, the most messianic. Ryrie, if you know who he is, says Zechariah prophesied more about the Messiah than any other prophet except Isaiah. Zechariah has more visions than any other prophet. That's deep stuff. Why does God put the deep stuff in the Bible? Been trying to show the guys over here how to study their Bible. We read John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is a deep chapter. But you know what? If you don't understand all of it, get what you can. I like that part that says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And then there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Good stuff. Deep stuff sometimes. God's got some deep thoughts, and he'll share them with us if we'll listen. Then the prophets. That's what made the difference. Here's what we need to do, folks, and I'll just stop right here. When you're discouraged, stop and hear from God. When you have a barrier and you can't get past it, stop and hear from God. When you can't solve a problem, when you can't get something accomplished, when you can't get things to go the way you want them to go, stop and hear from God. That's what got things going again. Then the prophets, and before you know it, things are going again. And they're building. That doesn't mean the opposition ceased, but I got good news for you. They finished the work. The Bible never, ever says that the road that we walk is an easy road. But it says the Lord walks with us. And you know, if you were walking down the road with the Lord, wouldn't you want to talk to Him? Wouldn't you? And if you're walking down the road with the Lord, wouldn't you want to hear Him talk back? Told some folks last night that just got saved, most important thing you can do now is to have a relationship with God. The most important thing. Try to explain to them, coming to church is a huge part of that. I've seen it. I didn't just start being a pastor yesterday. I've been a pastor for a while. And the first thing that happens when the devil starts to pick somebody off is he gets them out of church. Because when they're out of church, they're unsafe. They're not where they can be protected. And the second thing that will happen right a lot the same time is, if not before, they'll quit reading their Bible and they'll quit praying. If you do those three things, if you'll read the Bible, you're going to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen? And talk to the prayer. Talk to the Lord in prayer. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. The reason we stop, whatever it is, can be dealt with if we'll listen to God. Then the prophets, that's what made the difference. Did you hear from God today? Every morning we start staff meeting with a devotion. Open the Bible, read a verse or two or three or four or five and see what God has to say. And then apply that. I have this little gadget in my car, and it reads the Bible to me on the way into church. I like that. I used to have a cassette tape I could listen to. I listened to the Bible all the way to work every day. Folks, we need to hear from God. Amen? If you hadn't been hearing from God, you could. So I'll stand and pray.